Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space. If your workforce could think for itself and predict the next bottleneck before it happens or adjust workflows on the fly, how would that change how you run your operations? Well, that's the future we're exploring today, adaptive warehouses. This is the next evolution of warehouse management, where real-time data streams, robotics, machine learning, and autonomous AI agents work together to redefine the way supply chains function. In this high-tech world, AI is orchestrating workflows, rerouting orders, balancing labor, and making thousands of micro-decisions that are going to add up to major efficiency gains. Joining me today to discuss this exciting future is Bill Stenger, Senior Vice President of Sales at SwissLog, and Greg Miney, Vice President of Consulting Automation and Robotics at Invista. Together, we're going to take a deep dive into the characteristics of adaptive warehouses and talk about how they can positively impact the industry moving forward. All right, Bill, I want to start with you. For those who may not know, how would you define an adaptive warehouse in the context of today's market needs?
An adaptive warehouse to me is really about resilience. I kind of picture this warehouse like a living organism and not just a machine. Traditional warehouses have been primarily built for peak. So in principle, they're rigid. But when we think about adaptive warehouses, it's different. It's a warehouse that begins to sense what's happening in near real time. Let's say like a sudden surge in e-commerce orders or a labor availability challenge due to a snowy day in Ohio or a delayed truck at the outbound dock. It not only makes suggestions, but it will reconfigure itself to optimize and minimize disruptions. It's powered by software combined with flexible robotic technologies that will work together in harmony to make, let's say, informed decisions. It's really about the ability to adapt and not just automate. And I believe this is how modern supply chains will largely be constructed in the future. And frankly speaking, it's already happening today in certain ways.
Interesting. I imagine warehouse management systems and warehouse execution systems are going to play a major role in these adaptive warehouses. Greg, you've witnessed the evolution of warehouses firsthand over the decades. How have you seen WMSs evolve, and what role do you think they're going to play in the shift to adaptive operations?
Warehouse management systems, they've expanded their capabilities above and beyond what we could have pictured 25, 30 years ago. The ability to control and analyze and move people, let's put it that way, all right? If you're picking in one point of the warehouse and you need to have more associates in some other part of the warehouse because that's where the picks are now, before there was no way of noticing that. You'd have to have a supervisor on the floor say, okay, we need to move people from one area to the next. Now with labor management systems as part of the warehouse management systems, we can almost do that automatically. We can then adapt and say from an hour by hour, even minute by minute, in some instances, say this is where associates need to move. And then having the technology and the ability to track the movements, to track the efficiency of associates, and basically optimize the warehouse in that regard as well. If you had a situation where you needed very high pick efficiency, you could look at all of the associates that are logged in at any given time and pick your historically best associates to go to a certain area to complete that pick. A lot of our warehouses and systems that we implement now have very high accuracy requirements. And doing that with experienced people as opposed to new people who might not have that accuracy to where we need it to be, that's a big adaptive feature within the warehouse management system that's basically evolved over time. And it really helps maximize the efficiency of the overall facility.
Bill, what organizational mind shifts do you think are required to really fully embrace these new adaptive warehouse models?
I think the biggest shift is a shift in the culture. There's a mindset of, if it's manual, I'm in control if something happens. Shifting to more of an empowered technology, you really have to trust the systems. And most leaders that I've come across they don't want to be on the bleeding edge. They want to be the leading edge. And those leaders have to get comfortable in a set of business strategy and also the boundaries that they're comfortable with, they're comfortable letting AI play in their game. I think that's not possible unless you have a strong data orchestration strategy.
Can you both speak to the data aspect of adaptive warehouses? Why is orchestrating that data so important? And how do you recommend that operation teams prioritize which metrics to monitor and optimize in real time?
I think of it like this, the warehouse's nervous system, biologically. If I compare it to SwissLog and our sync platform, it's our system listening to the ERP system, working with the WMS and the machine level controls of the robots simultaneously, and then taking all that noise and finding a way to, let's say, construct this quote unquote, let's say, symphony within it, as we say, orchestration, tying it together. And it gives that operation the context so it can act intelligently. And without it, you're just data rich and really information poor, I would say.
Because there is so much data being generated, we can tell how far an associate walks between picks. We can tell how to optimize the slotting so that we can minimize the amount of distance that a person has to travel. We can bring goods to the person with robotics. So all of those things that we look at with the data being generated, we could then monitor the matrix. We can say how many the robotic time it takes. We can make those more efficient. And by doing that, we can then make the people more efficient as well that have to supplement the picks and everything else that are coming from the robotic side of things. So the data drives the solution. And then the solution basically drives the standard operating procedures that are developed so that we can maximize the efficiency of the systems that are being installed.
Greg, what other technologies are foundational for moving toward a more adaptive, data-driven warehouse model?
You need to have an ERP, a warehouse management system of some type, moving forward as the orchestration systems, the software systems that are controlling devices out in the warehouse. As those start moving up and moving into the storage space and locations and millions of data points and things like that that are coming within the warehouse, once that moves up into the warehouse management function, then you can have basically the adaptive facility. Once the warehouse management systems evolve and basically you could coordinate within the entire facility, that then takes a whole heck of a lot of load off of the associates that are planning out the day and planning out the waves and so on and so forth. So that warehouse management ERP, the orchestration software piece, it doesn't have to be all three. It could be one or the other. But once you get to a certain size, you will need that to basically standardize your process and grow within the facility.
What about simulation tools and digital twins? What role do they play in preparing a warehouse to become adaptive?
Any complex system that you put in right now, you need to do some type of simulation. Basically, just analyzing product movement along with the people movement. And then having a digital twin, basically being able to have the next day or the next wave pre-planned by just putting it into a digital twin and basically going through the scenarios with it at a software level before you actually put it onto the floor, again, is a way to maximize the efficiency of the overall warehouse when you get into the actual production of it. So we deploy digital twins, we deploy simulation tools, basically in any complex system that we put in with robotics and conveyance and any type of wearable devices. We can track all of that through the digital twin, run a simulation through it, and tell you how the next wave should play out.
What do you see as the biggest hurdles companies face when trying to shift from the observable to the intelligent and then eventually adaptive stage? Bill, do you want to take this one?
I think the biggest hurdle is not the robots themselves, it's the data. So many companies, the biggest in the world, have what I would say is data clutter, right? It's very siloed. Traditionally, it's messy. It occupies within old systems, and the cleaning effort alone is a huge lift. And very often, companies don't want to deal with it. I also think that leads to the behavior of maintaining a status quo. The second obstacle, a very human one, is letting go, right? Moving forward. And for an operations manager who's built a career, making those gut decisions on the fly, on the floor, handing over the reins to a software, an algorithm, an AI, is a huge leap of faith that pretty often they're not comfortable with. There's a cultural challenge just as much as a technical one.
Greg, what are some of the common misconceptions or fears companies have about transitioning to adaptive systems?
The biggest misconception, in my opinion, right now is there's still this thought that robotic systems are expensive, that they don't pay for themselves, that they're going to completely replace the workforce, so on and so forth. The price of the robotics is coming down significantly. As the price of labor goes up and the labor availability becomes more scarce, we're seeing more reasons to adapt robotics, autonomous robots, goods-to-person systems, things like that. We're trying to make the associates more efficient. As far as AI goes, AI is basically right at the beginning. We're still in the machine learning phase. We can do some adaptive software to anticipate needs and assign associates or make the robots more efficient. But we're still very early in that arena. It's getting better almost daily. There's new things that are being developed on a very fast basis, and the software is keeping up with it. So the adaptive software, the machine learning, understanding how to pre-slot goods in a goods-to-person system so that the robot travel is minimized based on previous orders or the previous day's orders and how all of that gets collected. Just doing that in off shifts is some of the machine learning and the software AI intelligence that's being developed to make the warehouse even more efficient upon startup.
And what about the human element? How can modern warehouses strike a balance between technology and the human workers that are necessary to support it, particularly as we transition to more autonomous systems?
So we have a saying, we say we never automate a bad process. So first we want to look at the associate and the processes and make sure that the current process and what they're doing is as efficient as possible. But we also understand that at a certain point, the associate is basically going to max out that efficiency in the current process. That's when we supplement those associates with some type of automation and autonomous systems, AMRs, robotics, AGVs. All of those types of systems are there to supplement what the associates can do. There is going to be a time where we are replacing associates because we are getting better and better at the autonomous robots and the efficiencies of which they can perform. They don't need breaks. They don't need bathroom breaks. Can run multiple shifts. But we are still working in a cohabitation type period where robots and associates are going to be working together, and that's going to move forward. And the other thing that we're looking at now, as far as associates, most of our associates now that we're looking to hire are going to be of higher skill, more technician types, as opposed to pickers and packers and stockers and things like that. We're slowly replacing those with the robotics, but right now we're still not there. We're still working in a cohabitation type period.
Bill, if you're looking ahead, how do you see the role of warehouse employees evolving as AI and automation takes a more active role in warehouse decision-making and operations?
The warehouse associate's role is already transforming. We are moving away from a world where we are paying people for the physical efforts to one where they are paid for critically thinking of how to solve problems. I would describe it as they are more like flow controllers or exception handlers, supervising these critical systems and solving much more interesting problems and really ensuring that this operations meeting service levels and running smoothly. It's an evolution of their role. It's going to make these jobs much more engaging. And traditionally, these operators are not in the four walls of the warehouse for an extended period of time. I do believe by creating a different level of engagement, a new level of excitement, and the ability to solve problems and not just manually move products from point A to point B, will lead to people staying in a much longer term than what they have been in previous years. And frankly, operations require this. With the limited availability of labor that's not getting any better, you have to figure out a way to keep these people working for the organization, or you are going to struggle to meet your customers' expectations.
Greg, what advice would you give supply chain professionals who want to modernize but are concerned about the cost and complexity of implementing automation and emerging tech in their warehouse and DC operations?
There's multiple ways to talk about cost right now. For autonomous mobile robots in goods-to-person systems, you can buy and purchase the hardware. There's also robotics as a service situation in which you're essentially leasing the robot. The robot is therefore part of an operational expense as opposed to capital expense. So think of the robots as part of your workforce as opposed to a capital expense investment in infrastructure. So that, along with software as a service as well, for big software implementations for the warehouse management systems, adaptive operations, simulation tools, things like that. Software as a service is also could be considered an operational expense. So most companies are trying to make it very easy to adapt technology within the future warehousing because they know that that's the future. And by turning it into an operational expense as opposed to a capital expense, it tends to make those purchases more appetizing to the clients. Let's put it that way.
Bill, why is now the right time for companies to invest in adaptive warehouse technologies and strategies?
Like I tell every supply chain executive, there's never been a more urgent time to invest. These last few years have taught us disruption is a new normal for us. Waiting for that perfect moment represents a much larger risk to the business than taking the investments. And with the types of technologies available today, they could make those investments in a much more incremental way and not have to fear making the wrong decision in the short term and not having the solution in the long term for the business.
So what process improvements are typically recommended before introducing more advanced automation or AI tools? Greg?
Again, we don't want to automate a bad process. So when we look at, we tend to call it low-hanging fruit. We go in, we do an observation of a process. We'll do a time study of a process. We'll understand what is taking place within, instead of a certain little area of the facility, we'll look at the facility as a whole and say, okay, how can we improve movement of product? Okay, if we can increase the efficiency of the movement of product, right, whether it's a person going to make a pick or storing that from a system that basically then has to go to a put away, if we can minimize travel, if we can make those steps more efficient, that's what we do first. All right. And then we implement automation on top of that to increase that efficiency instead of 10, 20% for the low hanging fruit to double it or triple it. And the AI tools, the ability to forecast, the ability to take past data and past orders, past movements, and understand that we're going to see this again. We did it this way in the past. How do we improve upon it? Whether it's slotting or movements or just basically how we release orders, the AI systems now are starting to tell us more and more about how to become more efficient without necessarily having to add high automation. And the amount of accuracy, the amount of reliability with these systems just keeps making the associate more and more efficient.
So to wrap up this conversation, if each of you could offer a piece of advice to companies preparing for the adaptive warehouse future, what would it be?
Don't be afraid of it. It's coming and it's being scaled more and more so that small companies can get a footprint within the autonomous systems going into facilities right now. The cost of the robots is going down. The cost of the operations of the robots as a service, software as a service, keeps coming down. So don't be afraid of it. Don't think that you're too small to do it. I gave a talk a couple months ago where I said, if you have 10 people picking and packing, there's probably a way that we can make you more efficient and add automation within your facility to make you more efficient and have a really good payback. So don't think you're too small. That would be my one piece of advice.
The success of any automation project is determined long before construction starts. It's determined by your understanding understanding your operational data, which I think you need to fall in love with far more than you need to fall in love with the robots you're using to complete the task. So start there, invest in the brain, flexible WES. I think you will find that building the rest of this body, so to speak, becomes infinitely easier on your supply chain modernization journey.
Thanks again to Bill and Greg for joining me on today's episode of MHI Cast and for sharing their insights regarding the future of adaptive warehouses. And a big thank you to you, our audience, for tuning in. At MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to help you take your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thanks for making us part of your professional development journey.